shall you do when I go to make intercession for you, and it'll happen just like he said. Jesus said, surely I must go away, but if I go, I'm coming back someday, and it'll happen just like he said. He said, I go prepare a place for you, that where I am ye can be too, and it'll happen just like he said. It'll happen like he said. He cleansed the leper and he raised the dead, fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. And he said, greater things than this shall you do, and I go to make intercession for you, and it'll happen just like he said. It'll happen like he said. He cleansed the leper and he raised the dead, fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. And he said, greater things than this shall you do, when I go to make intercession for you, and it'll happen just like he said.
Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to read a very familiar story tonight. Verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Can you get me up just a little bit, brother? Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We'll all read this scripture together tonight. The story of blind Bartimaeus is known as. I ask you that are saved here tonight to pray. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you ought to think about turning your life over to the Lord Jesus tonight. The greatest thing you can do is become a Christian, get saved, turn your life over to the Lord. You can't do nothing no greater than that. You say, how come? Because everything else you do will have an end to it. But a man that does that, it'll never have an end. So you can't beat that. There's a lot of people involved in things these days they think are better than being a Christian. But in the end, we'll find out. We heard about a Pentecostal church that's making so much noise, the neighbors sued them, took them to court for disturbing the peace. And they said they couldn't see no peace for them over there hollering, shouting, screaming, playing the piano, all that stuff, which it might have been a little out of hand, I don't know, it's a personal case. But did you know, we've got the law called on us out here. Me and some boys they called the law on us out in the parking lot one night. We was out there praying. And the law drove up and said, y'all are going to have to quit, you know. We were bothering somebody. But did you know that the day's coming? There's coming a day when those people would say, why don't you come over here and shake us? Get us out of bed. Grab me. Shake me. Tell me there's a God. Tell me there's a hell. There's coming a day when people would have wished we'd have been all over McDowell County begging them, dragging them, pleading with them to come to the house of God. There's a day coming, friend. There's a day coming. A lot of time we're scared to witness. They think, oh my goodness, what do people think about me? You realize that there is a day coming when people in McDowell County will face for not putting more pressure on them to come and be saved? Amen. That's right. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark 10, 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out, this is of course the Lord Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. That's a picture of the sinner. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another privilege and opportunity that we have once again to bow our knees and our heads and our hearts, call thee our Father. Lord God, we could never get over the fact that you loved us so much. You sent your Son down here to die on the cross for our sins that we could be saved. Our Father, tonight we pray as we look into this portion of your precious word, Lord, that you'd use this instrument of clay tonight to speak to hearts and lives and men and women, boys and girls. God, I pray the Holy Spirit may take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of Jesus and show them unto us tonight. Father, I pray for that girl, that boy, that man, that woman, that son or daughter who's here tonight that has never made that step of faith and trusted you to save their soul. God, I pray that you would help them tonight to make that step before it's everlasting and eternally too late. God, come through this place tonight. Do a work by the power of your Spirit, and we'll praise you and thank you and glorify you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to hold your Bibles open there a minute. Don't close them. I want to point out several things to you. And this story of the blind man by the name of blind Bartimaeus. This man has received much publicity down through the years because of his story of his eyes being open. And yet this man, his eyes being open, is a picture and a type of every sinner, man, woman, boy, or girl, who ever came to Jesus, who was blind, and after they came to Jesus, of course, went away seeing. Now, notice in this story tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ was on his last journey to Jerusalem before his crucifixion. Now, it's very interesting tonight to notice that. You listening? Jesus Christ was on the last journey to Jerusalem on his way before the crucifixion. You know what that meant? This would be the last time that he would ever pass through Jericho. If that old boy was ever going to meet Jesus, this was going to be his last time to do it. If he didn't do it that day, he'd have never got in. And did you know tonight, friend, that there always comes that last time when God walks by? Many people sit in church week after week after week, and the preacher preaches. They give the invitation. They say, anybody want to come get saved? And we say, please, would you come and get saved? And they stand next Sunday and say, nah, believe I'll wait. Nah, believe I'll wait. Next Sunday, nah, believe I'll wait. The next Sunday, nah, believe I'll wait. But you mark it down, friend. You remember me telling you and remember me warning you, the last time is coming. There's going to come a day when Jesus will come by for the last time. As far as we know, he never walked by Jericho anymore. This was it, the last opportunity. Wouldn't it make a difference in here tonight, in this service, if we knew this would be the last time that Jesus would ever call? I tell you tonight, brother, if we knew this the last time we'd ever be in the house of God, and we knew this the last time we'd ever get to hear preaching, this altar would be full tonight. There'd be lost people here getting saved, and there'd be Christians all over this place praying, getting something settled. If we knew this was the last time, and one day the last time is coming, just as sure as you live. You know, there's a lot of people think, there's a lot of people think that they got plenty of times. You know that? There's a lot of people in hell right now screaming and burning in the fire that thought they'd have another chance to be saved, but Jesus never passed their way again. That was it. Your last opportunity always comes. You can mock and you can sneer. I remember when we was in Washington, D.C. preaching. And I preached down on the corner of 14th Street, I believe it is, down there in Washington, D.C. And we preached right in front of the Capitol building. And them big wigs would come by there, and the light would change, and they'd have on a big suit, man, knock your eyes out. Big old briefcase under their arm, and they'd walk by, and there were secretaries, and they'd press across that street, and they'd gang up over there and laugh and mock at the preacher. And boy, they laughed in our faces. You say, how did you stand that? I'll tell you how I stood it.
I know that there's a day coming when they wished that they could have a chance to walk by there again. One day when they stand before an Almighty God who knows everything they've ever done, they'd have wished they'd have got down on that sidewalk and repented of their ungodly sin and got saved and went to heaven when they died. Let me tell you something, buddy. This old world's going to pass away and the lust thereof. This old world's going to burn up. God's going to burn up Marion. God's going to burn up Morganton. God's going to burn up Hatchville. God's going to burn up Hickory. God's going to burn up Charlotte. God's going to burn up Salisbury. God's going to burn up Myrtle Beach, thank God. God's going to burn up New York. God's going to burn up Los Angeles. And if you ever want to get saved, you better be getting saved because time is running out for you, friend. Some of you people right here, you've sat and heard me. You've sat and heard other preachers preach and sat back there and waited and waited and waited. When are you going to get saved? Your last chance is coming soon. This was this boy's last chance. He hadn't got saved here, hadn't got his eyes open here, but chances are more than likely he would have never got his eyes open. But thank God he recognized the Lord and called on him. All right, let's see just a moment right quickly tonight what the Lord done for this man, him that he opened his eyes. Number one, he had heard what Jesus had done for others. Do you know that? He had heard. He couldn't see. But he had heard what Jesus had done for other people. The Bible said when they came to Jericho, a great number of people, that blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now how did that man know who Jesus was? Very simple. He had heard. He had heard people walking down the road. Maybe he had been witness to. I don't know. Chances are, there's somebody come down there one day and said, hey, old Bartimaeus. And he looked up and said, yeah, what? And they had a little cup out there. I thought he was going to give him a dime or a quarter or something. And one of them old disciples, Peter or John or one of them said, I ain't got no quarter to put in your cup. But I just want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus is here, and He's the Savior of the world. And God sent His Son, just like He promised back there in Deuteronomy, that He would. And we've been looking for Him all these years. And now He's here, walking around on the earth. We believe He's going to set up the kingdom, deliver us from our enemies. And old Bartimaeus said, is that right? Is that right? Boy, I'd sure like to be around Him. I'd sure like to hear from Him. And they said, yes, sir, son. He's in town coming pretty soon. And He'll be through here maybe one day. Well, the day come when there's a great big mob coming. And they heard them saying, Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David. And old blind Bartimaeus, he heard that. And boy, when he heard that, he thought, my soul, here he comes. He's coming. I hear him. I hear he's coming. You know what? He knew who Jesus was because somebody had told him. Now, you never know what good your testimony is going to do. You know that? You really? I mean, don't never be ashamed or afraid to tell somebody that you work with, somebody that you go to school with, what Jesus has done for you. It may seem like they're not listening, but brother, they are, and it's going down into their heart. And someday, they'll want to call on God because of your testimony that you give them. Do you know that? Amen. You don't realize. You never know who your testimony is going to touch. I've been out on visitation, and I've talked to people, and it honestly looked like they wasn't listening to a word I said. Sitting there staring at the TV, and I'd say, wouldn't you like to come to church? And say, yeah, I might. And I'd sit there for a few more minutes, and I'd say, well, have you ever been saved? Uh-uh. And it's just all wrapped up in a TV program. And I'd sit there, and I thought, man, I sure am a wasting my time. And the devil says, what are you out here busying for anyway? Just a waste of time. They want to get saved. They know where the church is. And I said, no, the Lord said, do it. And I believe. And I've had some of them same people someday. See, God's able to work circumstances around and make them change how they think. I mean, their kid gets in trouble or maybe they have family problems. They get sick and God gets their attention. First thing they think of is that person that witnessed to them. They call me up and say, you remember when you was down here not long ago? Well, I've done thinking about it. Can you help me? I need praying for. Could you help me? You go over and tell them how to get saved. Don't tell me getting witnessing don't do a bit of good, friend. I mean, you ain't got no sense if you say witnessing don't do any good. There's probably 50 people sitting in here tonight. There's a direct result of somebody talking to them personally and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, he had heard what Jesus had done for others. He had heard how that these old boys had got out of jail miraculously. He had heard how that the Lord had opened deaf ears. He had heard how that the lame man had walked. And he thought, my goodness, if he can help them, if he can make a lame man walk, if he can make a deaf man hear, he ought to be able to make a blind man see. After all, he's my only hope. I'm going to call on him. And so, brother, he had heard what the Lord had done for others. But then I want you to notice, secondly tonight, he recognized that Jesus is Lord. He recognized that Jesus is Lord. You say, how do you know? Well, look at verse 47. When he heard that he was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You say, there's where a man got saved and didn't call him Lord. Oh, yeah? Look down there at verse 51. He then wasn't saved in verse 47. He's just approaching the Lord. Verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that thou do unto me? The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And brother, the next thing that man did, he recognized that Jesus was Lord. Now what you need to do tonight, if you're not saved, number one, you need to realize that you're blind. You ever heard anybody say, well, I don't see why he has to scream and holler. Anybody say, I don't see why you have to go every Sunday. Now listen to this. I don't see why you have to read the Bible all the time. I don't see what's wrong with doing this. I don't see what's wrong with drinking a little bit. Now you notice what I'm saying? I don't see, I don't see, I don't see. You caught that, didn't you? You ever heard anybody say, I don't see what the big fuss is about. I don't see why you have to go to church three times a week. I don't see why I can't just stand up there and just talk nice. I don't see. You know what they're saying when they say, I don't see? Man can't see, he's blind. And the reason you can't see is because you're blind. And if God ever saved you, you'd see what all the hollering and what all the excitement's about. It'd do something different to you. That's right. He recognized that Jesus is Lord. You can't never get saved until you realize you're lost. You can't never get to God and Calvary and Jesus until you realize you're a sinner and going to hell. When you die, you'll never get saved. You know what's wrong with people in McDowell County tonight? They've been to church when they was little, and mama goes to church, and daddy belongs to this one, and they think they're good enough as they are, and they don't think they're going to hell. There's probably people sitting in here tonight. You don't really think you're going to hell. You don't think you're bad enough, do you? Buddy, God's got a surprise for you. You say, I'm not bad enough to go to hell. In whose opinion? Yours? Bible said every man's right in his own eyes. Nobody's bad in their own sight. God puts a judge on you, brother. And the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That don't matter what you think, how you feel. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are dead in trespasses and sin. It stands to reason, if one died for all, then all were dead. And I want you to know there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And if you want to get your eyes open, you've got to recognize that Jesus is Lord. Lord means boss. Lord means master. Lord means ruler of your life. One thing wrong with the Jesus freak movement back in the sand dunes, you know, in California, and baptizing in the ocean, all that stuff. The biggest thing wrong with that outfit back about 10 years ago was this. They thought you'd come and get Jesus, quote, Jesus, as your Savior. And then about 6 months later, make him Lord. It don't work like that. Somebody said, I'm a Christian, but Jesus is not Lord over my life. Honey, they ain't no such animal. That's right. I didn't say a Christian was perfect all the time, but you don't get saved unless you acknowledge him as Lord. The Bible said in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You cannot, you will not ever get saved until you say, he's Lord, he's boss. I'm tired of my living my own life. From now on, he's going to tell me what to do. You don't get saved until you recognize his lordship. Now, that's not to say you'll always let him rule your life. That's not to say you'll be perfect after you get saved. But, you know how come some people can't get saved? I've seen people come to this altar right here, get down here and pray and pray and pray and pray, and when they get up, say, "What happened?" "Nothing." They go back, come back to the altar about 6 months later, pray and pray and pray and pray. They get up, "Anything happen?" "No." You know what's wrong? There's something they don't want to let go of.
Amen. Amen.
Immediately, when you turn loose of all your sins, the Lord will save you.
Amen.
That's right. You cannot get saved holding on to your sin.
That's right, brother.
You can't do it, brother. The Bible said, repent and believe. I'm not going to get up here and just say, all you've got to do is believe. If you don't repent, you can't believe. That's right. That's Bible doctrine, brother. A man can't believe on Jesus Christ till he repents of his sin. That's why the Bible always says, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. You can't believe as long as you got that sin there blocking out there like a cloud the Lord from your life. If there never comes a time when you're saying, "All right, I'm tired of my old life. I'm ready for a new one," you'll never get saved. You want to stay in your sins? You stay in your old hog slop? Just go on and live for the devil? Suck on your pot? Suck on your beer cans? Drink Miller Low Life and Bud Dumber? Make a fool out of yourself if you want to, buddy. But you'll never go to heaven. You'll never get saved until you're willing to turn your back on your sin. I'll not lie to you. You won't get saved till you turn your back on sin. You say, "Well, I just like to sin too much." All right, it's a free country. You can go to hell if you want to. But if you want to go to heaven, you'll repent and come to Jesus. You say, "Well, I just like my sin so much." Oh, you're just hooked and don't want to admit it. What you need to do tonight is realize that God will give you something better. Everything you give up, the Lord will give you something better. You say, "Well, I can't see it." He don't let you see it till you give up your sin. You're still blind. Reason you can't see it now. You know what a lot of people want? They want to hold on to their sin and see what God's got for them and compare the two to make up their mind which one they want. But you can't see that till you drop this, brother. You can't see God's blessing until you drop your sin. As long as you drop your sin, you can't see anything about the Christian life. He recognized that Jesus is Lord. You've got to believe on Jesus as the Bible reveals Him. See, there's another Jesus in the world. It's the Jesus that people like Robert Schuller and Jehovah Witness and all them talk about. That's another Jesus. That's not this Jesus. You don't only have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe on Him as the Bible reveals Him. Which is, of course, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's the only way you can be saved. Number three, He took advantage of His opportunity. Look at verse 47. And when He heard that it was Jesus, what did He do? Go home? What did He do? Roll over and go to sleep? He began to cry out and ask the Lord to help him. He took advantage of His opportunity. I hate to say this to you tonight. Now, I know there's not very many here tonight. A lot of people couldn't get here because of the snow. I feel like tonight that God's given somebody an opportunity to be saved. You better take advantage of your opportunity. If you don't, you'll let it slip by. What if this man would have said, "Oh, I don't want nobody to laugh at me. Oh, I'm not going to go out there and holler at Jesus. My friends will think I'm some kind of sissy. I'll just sit here and stay blind the rest of my life so they won't make fun of me." But you know what these young boys, 20 years old, 18 years old, I was one of them, I know, that are going to hell just because they're worried about what some of their friends is going to think about them. Now, I like friends. I will tell you something. I wouldn't go to hell for nobody. Now, if you want to, you can. But not me, buddy. You say, "You're just chicken." Buck, 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 buck. Call me what you want to, brother. I call it good sense. There's a difference between being brave and being stupid. A man that says, I'll go to hell. I don't work. I just want my friends to know that I'm with them. I don't want nobody to laugh at me. Brother, you're letting your opportunity slip by. You'll never maybe have another chance again if you don't come to the Lord tonight. Some are letting the opportunity slip by. Do you realize, folks? Do you realize? Do you realize what an opportunity? This is a once-in-a-lifetime service. There'll never be another service like this tonight. There'll never be another message. I couldn't say what I've already said for love nor money up here tonight. It'll never happen just like it's happened tonight. It'll never be the same. They'll never be sitting just like we are again tonight. One time, in millions and millions and billions of years, just one time, we've got this service here tonight. God help you. God help you. To come down here and get on your knees and get right with God tonight. There'll never be a service like this ever, 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 ever again. You'll never have this opportunity. We're not playing church. We're not laughing and playing games. This is a once in eternity opportunity for you. One time. Bible said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now's the accepted time. Behold, today's the day of salvation. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. He'll have mercy on him, our God, for he will abundantly pardon. James 4:14 said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Have you ever got up in the morning when it's real foggy and you look out there and you say, my goodness, can't even see out there in the garden. It's so foggy. You go in there and you have a bite of breakfast and the sun pops up and you look out there and all that fog's gone. You say, where'd that go? That's just like your life. Your life's just like a vapor. Appears for a little while. It's gone. Don't let your opportunity slip by. Did you know tonight? Did you know that this may be it?
Amen.
Did you know this little service down here, Humana Baptist Temple, on an old, cold, snowy February night, some people thought there wasn't even no use in even being here. God Almighty looked down. He said, that's the most important thing in North Carolina right now. What's going on at my house? God wants to save somebody here in this service tonight. God wants to do something in somebody's heart here, right here on this altar tonight. That they'll never be this. I know it, I know it, I know it. God wants to save somebody right here on this altar. I've seen it happen like this, I guess, 25 times before. And son, when the angel comes down here and ripples this water, you better get in while you've got a chance. You better get in. Take advantage of the opportunity. If I could come back there and shake you, if we could say, come on boys, two or three of them, come back here and get a hold of you and drag you up here on this altar, we'd do it. But that wouldn't be no good. He took advantage of his opportunity. They didn't say, hey, holler at Jesus. Hey, get on up there. Don't you want to come? Raise your hand, drag you up here. No! He said, I know he may never pass by this way again. He began to cry out, Jesus! Jesus! Help me! Brother, he knew as his only hope and may never have another chance. Come to find out he didn't ever have another chance. Not only that, but number four, he didn't mind being a spectacle. He didn't care what they thought. You don't believe it? Look at verse 48. And many, you think about this now. You ever heard somebody say, I don't want to go up the altar, they'll laugh at me. Well, listen here, they really did get on him. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Can you believe that? All them old Pharisees stood around there and said, shut up, man. Hush. Hush. You're not supposed to holler in the house of God. You're not supposed to be like that. We don't worship like that around here. No use for all that emotionalism. We don't believe in that. We believe in being dignified and reverent and quiet. He didn't pay a bit of attention to us. I heard about this old lady one time. Well, I better not tell that story. You might think I'm cussing. If I heard Brother Mays tell it, you'll have to hear him sometime. She said, I'll tell you part of it. She come into a church one night, and it's better than 4 o'clock. Great, big, fancy, high society uptown church. I mean, man, you could heard a pin drop in there. And she got in there, and she is so full of the Lord, you know, and all of that kind of thing. And she's all like, "Whoa, glory!" The preacher told one of the ushers, "Quiet me down." Looked back and said, "Ma'am, you have to be quiet. We don't do that in this church." The preacher got up there and said, "Now we'll sing about the Lord." They sang another song. She couldn't help it. She hollered, "Hallelujah! Glory!" Everybody turned around. Hallelujah. Scared them to death. They hadn't never seen nothing like it. Oh, they just wasn't used to that kind. And there's this real, you know, there's these kind that thinks it's a sin to shout, but they don't, or laugh, but they don't think it's a sin to go to sleep. You know the kind I'm talking about, don't you? Okay. She hollered and shouted around there a little while. Finally, two ushers come and got her. One got on one side and one got on the other. They started carrying her out like this. She started to holler and shout, "Whoa, glory, hallelujah." They said, "Mom, what are you shouting about now?" She said, she went out the door. She said, "That Jesus just had one donkey." She didn't use the word donkey. "Jesus just had one on the way to carry him out into Jerusalem, and I got two." And brother just went out the door and shouted. Amen. She didn't care what they thought. And there's a lesson here for Christians and non-Christians alike. Never will. You as a Christian want them out to a hill of beans for God until you get to a good old dose of "I don't care."
Amen.
I'd have never, the Lord would allow, I'd have never allowed the Lord to start this church here in Marion if I'd have worried about what somebody was going to say.
Amen.
I'd have never preached on the street. I'd have never gave out a tract. I'd have never stood and preached my first message if I was going to worry about what people thought. You have to get to the place where you say, "Lord, I don't care. All I want you." If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you'll never get saved until you want Jesus more than you want what somebody's approval and somebody's friendship. You say, "Well, I don't, all my friends, if I got saved, all my friends, they wouldn't have nothing to do with me." Now, let me get this straight now. You say that if you got saved, all your friends wouldn't have nothing to do with you. Is that right? All right, now, say if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell and burn with them forever and ever, right? Amen. Now, when you look back on that thing, them some friends you've got there, ain't it?
That's right. Amen.
Friends that don't even care whether you go to heaven or hell. Man, with friends like that, you don't need no enemies.
Right. Amen.
Somebody that don't even care if you're going to heaven, they're not your friend. Isn't the real problem just your pride? Isn't the real problem way down deep inside? You just think, you just don't want them to make fun of you. That was my problem. Really was. When I got saved, I felt real good that night, and I thank the Lord for forgiving me and all of that. But you know what? I went home that night, and the first thing I thought was, "Oh, no. What are they going to say?" And I hate to admit this, but I avoided some of my friends. For 2 or 3 months after I got saved, I just didn't have the guts to face them. You know what I found out? The Lord showed me a great secret that I've never forgot. He showed me that if you'll go ahead and tell them that you've changed, that your life's different, and now you're ready to live for Jesus, they may give you a little sneer and mock a little bit, but deep inside of them, they'll respect you.
Amen. Amen.
They will. They'll respect you for what you've done. I found that to be true, brother.
Amen.
Some of my friends got saved later and they said, Danny, we laughed at you and made fun of you, but deep down inside, I admired you for stepping out and getting saved. They'll respect you if you'll become a Christian. They ain't going to... Don't let them laugh you into hell. Don't let them... That little sneer there scare you away from God. It don't matter what they think. No way. Not only that, he refused to be silent. Look at verse 48 again. See, they said, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. And you know what he done? He cried the more, a great deal. The louder they said, shut up, the louder he hollered, have mercy on me, Lord. Now, I want to tell you just how the Lord is. I don't know why he's like this. It's his business. But I'll tell you how the Lord is. The Lord would have walked right by that man and left him blind if he hadn't hollered for him. You say, it looks like the Lord knew he's blind and he could help him. He just went over and helped him. But the Lord just don't do like that. I don't know why he don't. Ain't none of my business, none of yours. How I know he does, he'll walk right by. But when that man cried, he caught the ear of Jesus. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He wouldn't give up. He meant business. That is immediately when you'll get right with God, is when you mean business. You play around, you won't get right. You just hum-ho around, pop bubble gum at the altar and laugh and cut up, you'll be the same when you leave as you were when you came. You've got to mean business. I mean, you got to come clean, brother. It's got to be from your heart. It's got to be, you got to mean it from way down deep inside. How come some two people will come to the altar? One will go right back into their sins and one will stick in here like glue. You know what the difference is? One of them didn't mean it. You've got to mean that thing, boy. I mean, it's got to come from your heart. I mean, I ain't done many things in my life. I really ain't. Really, I'm not. I've messed up a lot, and I ain't been much of an example as a Christian in a lot of ways. I want you to know, bless your soul, when I came to the Lord and asked Him to save me, I meant it. And He saved me because I meant it. He didn't save me because I was any better than anybody else. He saved me because I mean it. When you mean business with God, brother, He'll mean business with you. You play around with Him, He'll play with you. You get straight with Him, He'll get straight with you. Not only that, number six, He cast away every hindrance. I like that part. Verse 50. He had a little hindrance there. You know what it was? And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You know what your garments are, a picture of in the Bible? Self-righteousness. I wonder why it said that. I mean, he casting away his garment. He had a robe on, and he just got up and threw that thing down. A garment in the Bible represents self-righteousness. And you can never, never, ever, ever come to the Lord till you realize it. You ain't nothing. You ain't much. You ain't fit to kill. Do you know that's how come it's so hard to witness to rich people? You know how come most of the people get saved are common, hard-working, ordinary, everyday people? That's how come it's so hard to get educated people saved. They think they're so smart. Boy, the Lord's got a surprise for that bunch, ain't He? That's how come it's so hard to get big, high-society religious people, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian. That's how come it's so hard to get people like that saved. They don't think they're that bad. You'll never get saved till you cast away that old garment of that self-righteousness. Come to Jesus. What is it that's keeping you from coming to Jesus? Let's just hold it right here just a second, and I'm going to move on to my last point and analyze your situation here. See if the Lord will let me read your mind, okay? What is it that's keeping you from Jesus? I bet I can guess. It's either one or three or four things. It's probably your pride, your friends. Sure ain't your money, ain't none of you got none. Unless you got me fooled awful bad. It's either your pride, your money, your friends, your job,
or you're some sin that you're doing and you don't want to quit.
Amen.
And just to hold on to that one little sin, it may be living in adultery, it may be a sexual sin, it may be drugs, it may be alcohol. There's one little thing that's standing between you and heaven. And every time you think about wanting to get saved, the devil says, you don't want to get saved. That's the way he talks. And he says, you don't want to get saved. It's foolishness. Don't listen to that old crazy Danny Castle. He'll brainwash you. That's how the devil talks. He's smart, friend. He knows how to work on your head. He'll get you out of here and get you killed in a car wreck somewhere before you ever get saved. That's what the devil will do. But the Holy Ghost is sweet. And he'll punch on your heart and say, it's the truth. It's the truth. I love you. And I want to save you and forgive you, sir. Now, which one are you going to listen to? Number 7, he received his sight. You know what the Lord done? Verse 51, he said, what wilt thou that I should do unto you? And the blind man said, Lord, I want sight. He didn't beat around the bush, boy. He told him what he wanted. He didn't say, oh, thou that dwellest in the heavens, if it would please thee and somehow find us in thy great sovereign plan. He said, Lord, I'm blind. Help me see. He didn't know how to pray no big fancy prayer. God's not interested in you praying a big fancy prayer. God just wants you to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all the Lord wants to hear. And brother, in verse 52, Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Son, his eyes come open. He looked around. Said, whew, what's that? Somebody said, that's a tree. Said, my goodness. Never seen nothing like that before. Matter of fact, never seen nothing before. And brother, they began to tell him. He began to look around. And they said, come on back to town, boy. We're going to put you on a platform and give your testimony tonight. And somebody said, you're a Baptist. If I've ever seen one, come over and join us. He said, oh, shut up. You wouldn't leave me. You didn't want me to get saved. Now you're trying to proselyte me, you bunch of hypocrites. I want to follow Jesus. And that's the way they do. That's the way they do. They won't give you the time of day before you get saved. Boy, after you get saved, they suddenly get real religious. I'm going to invite you to their church.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way you know them cops, Mormons, Jehovah Witness, Seventh-day Adventists. They're a bunch of hypocrites, brother. They'll never speak a word to you when you're out living in sin, living like the devil. Right after a man gets saved, then they jump on him. We've had it happen over and over and over and over again. Brother Mike told me up there in the Hot Springs they'd won a man of the Lord last week. And the next day, I believe it was, the next 2 or 3 days, the Jehovah's Witness knocking on his door. Never had been there before. Isn't that strange? And anyway, they said, come on, boy, you're a Methodist if I've ever seen one. He said, I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you. And they said, well, who do you want to see? He said, I want to see the man that opened my eyes. And he went looking for him and trying to follow him. That's who I'm going to want to see when I get to heaven and choose. When I get to heaven one of these days, I mean, it tickles me when people like Brother Ralph told about them streets of gold. But you know what, really? I mean, we'll be walls of jasper, man, walking on solid gold. Never get sick, never cry, never sigh, never sorrow, never get a heart attack, you know, headache, ingrown toenail, fever, blister, nothing, brother. Nothing. Perfect all the time. You know what? That'll be wonderful. But you know what'll be the first thought in our minds? We'll say, where's he at? Where's Jesus? That'll be who we're wanting to see. You know why? Because Jesus saved our soul. I want you to know, glory to God, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not a religious person, naturally. Really, I'm not. I was mean as the devil before the Lord saved me. I'm not going to heaven because of anything good that I've done. I ain't done no good.
All my righteousness, filthy rag. I'm going to heaven because he opened my eyes.
Amen.
Never have been blind again. I've stumbled and fell, tripped, messed up, but I ain't never been blind again, brother, since he opened my eyes. I close with this story tonight. I remember years ago hearing this story of a little boy who had been blind all of his life. And his mother was worried about him, and he's about 10 or 11 years old. And somehow they got a little newspaper clipping of a great doctor in England who had learned to perform surgery and in certain cases was able to help those that were born blind with a certain impairment able to see. And they said, son, and then she told him about the doctor. And she said, son, we're going to try to get him, but there's a great fee involved. We'll never be able to pay it. Somehow or another, the little boy wrote in his own words that doctor letter. Said, I'm 11 years old, I believe it was, never have seen. I wish I could see you. I wish you'd come and help me, but we ain't got no money. That letter got to that doctor, brother, and that thing touched his heart. The man, he flew, paid his own expenses, flew to the United States, performed that surgery on that little boy. They said, now I want you to know, sometimes it'll be successful and sometimes it don't. We can't promise you anything. Laid that little boy out on the operating table and took those delicate instruments, went in behind his eyeball, began to cut and work and move and work in the retina and the parts of his eyeball where he could receive his sight. They wouldn't know for about a month if the operation was successful. Well, as the little boy's in the hospital, his mother got to take him home, lay him in a wheel, send him in a wheelchair every day. And the doctor said, ma'am, I got 32 bandages on his eyes. Said, if you take all them bandages off at once, the light going to be so bright it'll blind him. He'll be blind again if he can see it all. You take off one bandage every day till you get down to the last bandage. When you get down to the last one, call me and I'll come over. So every day for 32 days, that mother took a bandage off that little boy's eye. One, two, three, and began to take those bandages off. It got down to the last two bandages. She called the doctor. He come. They took the one off. The next day they said it's time for the last bandage to be taken off. The mother's heart was a-flying. She said, let's take him outside. I want the first thing for him to see be something beautiful. So they went out into the garden. It was a beautiful day and the wind was blowing the flowers and it's spring and you could see the green trees, the blue sky. She said, I want that to be the first thing he sees. Brother, the doctor took those little clippers, began to clip that bandage off of his eyes. Slowly and delicately took that last bandage off that little feller's eyes. When he took that bandage off, the little boy says, look, son. And he looked up this way and he squinched his eyes a time or two and rubbed them. And he squinched his eyes a time or two and rubbed them. And his face lit up and he said, Mama, I can see. Mama! Is this heaven? And she said, no, son, it's not heaven. This is our backyard. And there's the trees and the flowers I've been describing to you. I'm your mama, honey, and you ain't seen me. Here I am. And he said, oh, mommy, it's beautiful. It's not half as, I mean, it's twice as beautiful as you told me. But he said, mama, the trees are beautiful and the flowers are beautiful. And you're beautiful, mama, and I love you. Mama, I want to see the man that opened my eyes. And brother, she took him to the great doctor and introduced him. That's who he wanted to see. I want you to know, bless your soul, when I get to heaven, my eyes are going to be open like never have before. I'll see the gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and the streets of gold. And brother, I'll look around and see all the beauties. Now, you know what'll be on my mind? I'll say, somebody, take me and show me the man. But down there at Nebo Baptist Church on April 18th, 1972, I reached down and opened my eyes. Show me that man, and I shall behold him. And the glory, brother, mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. But Jesus will outshine them all. I want you to know, brother, everything's going to be beautiful, but there'll be nothing there like him. A man that opened our eyes. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. While God speaks to our hearts tonight, the pianist comes. If God would speak to your heart tonight, Christians, you pray. Tonight we're going to give an invitation. Tonight you're going to have an opportunity to walk down this aisle. Get things right with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll mean it, the Lord will save you. Are you tired of your sins? Are you tired of the old slop of the devil? Why don't you let Jesus come in your heart tonight? Why don't you let the Lord save you? We're not going to come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. But while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Christians, you pray. Christians, pray. Please pray. Pray the power of God down, saints. Pray the Holy Ghost of God will move on somebody's heart and let them see their self as a sinner. Walk down this aisle and have them get saved. Listen, friend, there's only two places you can go, heaven or hell. You can't go but to one or two. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You listening to me? Just as sure as you sit in that seat. Why don't you come on down here tonight and let Jesus save you? Why don't you come on down here tonight and let the Lord help you? Amen. Thank God. Yes, let God do a work in your heart. Why don't you let Jesus help you tonight, friend? Yes, come on, boys. Come on. Some of you come over here and pray. Right quick. Let God do a work in your heart, friend. Let God move on you tonight. Let the Lord save you. The Lord will save you and wants to save you if you'll let Him. Don't turn Him down, friend. Time is running out. Tomorrow may be too late. Let Jesus come into your heart and save your soul. Write your name in the book of life and take you to heaven when you die. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit of God will move on this congregation tonight. Let somebody see their need as a sinner and come to you before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If you need to come to this altar, come on, join these on the altar tonight. While we sing, won't you come? Amen. Come on, right now. Right now, while we sing, slip out of your seat and come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Yes. Amen.
Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting. And watching.
Come on, friend, come on.
Watching for you and for me.
Come on. Let the Lord help you tonight. Why don't you let Jesus help you tonight?
Come home.
Come on, come on, come on. Come on home right now. Step out. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. Let Jesus help you right now. Amen. Come on. Come on. Step out like this one did, like these did.
Amen. Sinner, come home.
If God's speaking to your heart tonight, don't wait on somebody else. Don't wait. Tomorrow may be too late, friend. While we sing this next verse, why don't you leave your seat just like these have done? Come on down here and get it settled. This may be the last time he ever passes your way. While we sing, while we pray, why don't you slip out of your seat?
Why
come on down
we
right now.
Tarry Amen. When Jesus is pleading?
Come on, come on right now.
Pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me.
Come on, come on right now, come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't be too proud. Don't be too stubborn. Come on home tonight. Come on, friend.
You are weary. Come home.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on.
Calling, come on. Sinner, come home.
Amen. Sing another verse, Brother John. While we sing, help him sing. Won't you come? Time is fleeting, friend. The moments are passing. How long are you going to wait? The moments are passing. Don't turn him down tonight. Come on, get on this altar. Get things right with the Lord.
Deathbeds are coming. Coming for you and for me.
Yes, 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 come on. Come on. Come on. Come on home. Come on to Jesus. You'll never regret it if you'll come.
Ye who are weary,
yes.
Come home.
Yes.
God is calling, calling, oh sinner, come.